Yo, EM Sports Talk, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. And today is Tuesday, March 3rd, and we are going to talk a lot. We got a lot to talk about today. Man, we had the combine just happened the past last week, and into the weekend ended on Sunday. We had we got MLB coming up. With that, the NFL CBA, that controversy is going on. We're gonna talk a little bit about that. We're gonna talk a little bit about we're gonna do our first biggest moment segment in this episode. We're gonna do our first Q&A segment. And finally, we're gonna talk about Mayweather is gonna possibly train Wilder if Wilder and Fury 3 gets kicked off. That's a big topic everyone wants to hear about. I mean, I'm excited for that. I mean, you getting some technique behind that power. I mean, a lot could happen with that, with Wilder. So, EM Sports Talk Episode 6, we're rolling. Roll the music. Hello, welcome back. EM Sports Talk Episode 6. Again, today is Tuesday, March 3rd, and like I said, man, we got a lot to talk about, so let's get right to it. And so the NFL CBA proposal for this for the next 10 years, I guess, has came out, and the NFL is trying to make it where it'll be 3 regular season games, 17 preseason, I mean 17 3 preseason games, 17 regular season games, and 8 playoff teams. So that means you'll have, what, 6 wild card games, I believe, or 4 wild card games, 6 wild card games on wild card weekend. Only one team from each conference gets a bye week, so that could, that would have mean Baltimore. I mean, Jesus, that mean Kansas City would have been playing in the wild card if everything would have been like that last year. And who knows? They probably never won the Super Bowl. I mean, I necessarily don't agree with this proposal. It doesn't make any sense to me. The players don't seem like they're happy about it. But we're gonna roll a sound from Maurkice Pouncey, one of the CBA members. He's not too happy about this either. But the owners approved it, and they're just waiting on the players. But and another part of that deal is they're gonna give practice squad players a guaranteed of $200K, $200,000 guaranteed to practice squad players. So, in my opinion, this sounds like they're trying to get the lower guys to jump on board with this deal to make it happen faster, so they can like say they got the deal done. But I just don't think it makes sense for the players' health, the longevity of the season. I don't think it makes sense to me. Let's roll the tape, and we're gonna see how. I mean, Maurkice Pouncey wasn't happy about it, so let's roll the tape and see what he says.
The Pouncey twins vote no. And if any player, any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't gotta worry about that. All the vets on each team stand the up. Stand up, show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't gonna let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bull deal just so these motherfuckers sitting the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't get done.
So yeah, so you heard Pouncey isn't happy about it, but like he said, I mean, if they don't reach a deal, of course, the lockout happened. The NFL haven't had one of those since, I want to say, 2011. Maybe wrong, 2014, I believe. I'm not sure, but it's been a long time, and the lockout is basically you can't work out in team facilities and all that. But do note the NFL draft will still happen, free agency will still happen. It's just that you can't. None of that will be no free agent signing. It'll be actually official until they reach a deal and all that. So I mean, it's just gonna create a shit show in. Just gonna create a shit show in the off season. I mean, it's just not gonna be a good environment for the rookies. soon as you get drafted, you're getting drafted into a lockout, especially if your team's bad. I mean, let's just get a deal done. I mean, the owner's just trying to put some bullshit on these players, like they're not human. There is, it's more lab. I always say this: it's life to, after football, and the owners are basically treating these players like peasants. But I mean, you gotta see their pain, man. I mean, a lot of players can't even get through a 16 game season. Yeah, one more. Basically, you're not getting any bye weeks. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. I hopefully they get a deal done quick, because it doesn't make sense, man. I mean, the league doesn't need a lockout, and a lockout wouldn't help a lot of people cases like free agency and all that. It'd just be a shit show. So I think they gotta clean this up, get everything moving smoothly. Hopefully they get everything situated rather sooner than later, because the draft is, thinking about it, free agency starts March 16th, which is what, a week from now, 2 weeks from now. So, and the draft is April 23rd, so you gotta figure something out, man. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't make sense for you to have this lockout at this stage. And I mean, hopefully they work everything out, and I just can't wait to see what happens. I mean, because what they're showing to the public is only like 3 pages out of the 170 that comes with the CBA proposal, right? So we're only seeing the highlighted stuff, the good stuff. But apparently these players and those stuff, we don't know, but they're not really saying too much. They're just saying a hard no. And I mean, Watt tweeted about it, and I mean, just get the deal done. We want to see football, not negotiating. Fuck. Come on. Let's get this shit rolling. Hopefully they get the job done, and we're gonna, I mean, I just can't wait for the draft. That's what I love about the off season. Free agency's cool, but the draft is like much see TV. Much watch see much must see TV, my fault. It's interesting to watch the draft. I mean, some people might think it's boring, but I think trades and all that excites me. I just can't. I hope that this fucking lockout don't ruin that. All right. So speaking of, we're gonna switch over a little bit. Man, MLB is talk is coming up sooner than later. They start the season at the end of this month, and it's opening day. My Nationals take on the Mets at home, defending world champs. So you already know, you're pretty sure you know about that. But I'm looking a little bit about, I'm give a bold prediction. I'm talk a little bit about my predictions for this MLB season. That's gonna be a bold one. All right, I'm gonna get right to it. Okay, the Astros are gonna fucking still make the fucking playoffs. Let's just get over that. But I think the MVP of this year is gonna be Bryce Harper. I think this is his year to fucking prove everyone, to tell them to back off. This guy Harper never really had a down year. He won MVP with the Nationals. The next year after that, it was just he still didn't have a terrible year, but I think it's time for Philly, him to show Philly that they're paying him the money that he deserves, because this guy's special. All right, Harper, I'm picking Harper for MVP because the pieces Philly put around him this year is just extraordinary. They got Didi Gregorius from the Yankees coming over. They added some pieces to that bullpen, the rotation. Remember, they was hot to start the year last year. Them and the Braves, and the wheels fell off quick for the Phillies, and the Braves kept rolling along, and then the Nationals came out of nowhere, and you all know how that story ended. But I mean, Harper, I got Harper winning the MVP. I got World Series. I think the Yankees is going to win it this year. I think the Yankees are fucking loaded. The Yankees are official. If Stanton's healthy, the Yankees, I mean, they lost Severino. He's getting Tommy John. That's not no fucking joke. But I think the Yankees lineup is just full of power. You got guys on that team you never heard of, like that's going to play and perform. And the Yankees won 100 plus games last year. They're going to do that again. They're going to sweep through that division. Baltimore is the shit show of the league. The Boston traded their best player on the team, both two of their best players away. I mean, what do you expect out of them? Tampa Bay was surprisingly made the playoffs last year, but they're not a threat to the Yankees. Yankees gonna win the World Series. Bryce Harper from the Phillies is gonna win MVP. And I mean, shit, Cy Young for the National League. Scherzer's gonna get it this year. Syndergaard can kiss my ass. I don't like him. I hate Noah Syndergaard. Anything that deals with the Mets. I mean, they're a shit show, but you know, and for the American League, let's give it to I don't know. The American League's tough. I'm gonna give it to Lucas Giolito, former Nationals with the White Sox, had a phenomenal year last year with the White Sox. I think he steps up, makes that jump. I think he gets Cy Young. A lot of people who watches this show probably don't know anything about baseball, but I got a lot of diehard fans out there with sports. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, baseball is, if you ask me, is better than football. Better to watch, more entertaining. No, I'm lying. Yeah, I'm lying. Football is more entertaining than baseball, but I just don't. I think baseball is just so classic. I love watching it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean, you know, football is better. I'm over exaggerating, but I'm excited for baseball to come up. I mean, like I said, Harper, MVP. He hit what? I want to say Harper hit. Harper had to hit at least, I want to say he hit 30 plus last year in home runs. I'm not sure. We're getting our stat guy to check that now. What do you got? What do you got for Bryce Harper last year? All right, so we got it. All right. So with Philly last year, Harper had 114 RBIs on 149 hits. He batted 260. Wow, Harper dominated last year. 35 home runs. So he did have 35 plus. Yeah, Harper. Yeah, I think this year he's going to do better than that. They have a better team. I mean, shit. If you get, I mean, in the year he won MVP, he had what, 153 RBIs? Yeah. So give it. I mean, I think he can do it. Yeah, I think he can do it. I mean, Harper. All right, so no. So the year he won MVP, he had 42 home runs, 99 RBIs. He won MVP, though, so that really doesn't matter. I mean, he has the power. I think Harper, I think he dominates this year, man. He's hungry, and he's that type of competitor that you want on your outfield. He's nice. Harper wins MVP. You're probably tired of me keep saying Harper wins MVP, but I think he's going to do it. Like I said, the Yankees are going to win the World Series. You can quote me. I don't care. You know, you can argue with me all you want. As long as you got your stuff to back it up, I'll listen. But if you don't know what you're talking about, I'm not listening to that. All right, switching over back to football. So they apparently, so a lot of guys was asking me, you know, what do you think is going to happen to the NFC East next year if Dak decides, I mean, if the Cowboys decide that they can move on without Dak Prescott and bring in someone like Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill. I don't even know why he's in the discussion of being a starting quarterback. Don't see. I mean, I don't see any other player fit in that system. Brady's too old. I don't think he'll fit there. I think if anyone will end up there, Tannehill, if you don't go back to Tennessee, which will be stupid, or Bridgewater. I think Bridgewater would be the better fit if Dak leaves. But get away from the question. Who we're gonna talk a little bit about the NFCs. So the Redskins are completely out of the picture. Even if they get Chase Young, that team's a shithole. They made a big improvement though by cutting Josh Norman. I think they have to get rid of tight end Jordan Reed. You can say he'd been their best playmaker the last. I mean, say what you want. The guy is underperforming big time right now. He's playing terrible. With the Redskins, he's always hurt. You can't. I mean, their parents got a lot of money to be hurt. I don't get that one. The Redskins out of the question. They're gonna be last. They're probably gonna be picking in the top three next year in the draft again. The Giants are gonna improve a bat a lot in the draft. They got the pieces to do it. The draft picks to do it. I mean, Saquon is gonna bounce back. He had the ankle injury this year, slowed him down. Daniel Jones is gonna get his feet under him a little bit more in that offense. But I think. All right, and now it comes down, but the Giants are going to improve a lot. I give the Giants 6 wins next year. All right, they haven't had that much in a while, but the Giants are going to get 6 wins next year. I'm calling it now. Free agency is going to change that team. They can get some peace in there. They got the money to do it. They got to help that offensive line. Is it even going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys, with or without Dak? I think. I'm saying this now. I think Philly wins the division again. And last year, that division was probably, it was terrible to watch. Neither team wanted to make the playoffs. They were both playing terrible football. But I think if Philly can get some receiver help, which I think they are, some DB help, that team will be fucking incredible. Shit, they might got to get a backup quarterback, it looked like, because Wentz can't stay healthy either. So, with that, I mean, because the Cowboys got a lot of holes to fill and a lot of people to pay. Not just this offseason, next offseason, they got to pay those young guys. And I'm talking about Van Der Esch. The other linebacker, Jalen, I want to say Smith. I might be wrong. They got to pay DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, they got to pay these guys. Randall Cobb is going to be a free agent this offseason. Sean Lee's going to be a free agent. Even though he's old, but he was a great sub in for Van Der Esch when he got hurt. They got to get better at tight end. Jason Witten isn't the same Jason Witten. If you have to get better at receiver if they decide not to bring back Cobb or Mark Cooper, and your DBs are just like without Byron Jones, that DB team, that core is not good. Awuzie, okay. I mean, Byron Jones is their heart and soul of their DB unit. They gotta get him back. I think he's more important than Amari Cooper. You can get a receiver in the fucking draft, and he can have the same numbers as Amari Cooper. Even though I'm not saying he's a scrub or something, but that's just the nature of that all. It's gonna open up for them, even though. Yeah, you got to get. I just don't see Dallas moving on past Byron Jones. He's by far top three corner in the NFL, not number two. Stephon Gilmore's number one. I don't know. I mean, that team, the Eagles have a lot of holes to fill too, but I think the Cowboys have more holes to fill and more people to pay. The Eagles paid their players. Everything's working out. They just got to get receiver help. I think that's what set them apart from running away with that division last year. Dallas just had lackluster play call. The personnel was terrible last year. Kellen Moore has to go. I'm not going to get started with that. But hear me out. I think Philly's going to win that division by 2 games. Philly's going to go 12-4. Dallas going to go 10-6. Not 8-8 this year, 10-6. And I think Philly's going to win the division. If Wentz goes crazy like he did the year they won the Super Bowl before he got hurt, the Eagles are going to kill the Cowboys, especially if they lose Byron Jones. You can say what you want. All right. We're going to talk more about this when we release our NFL, EM Sports NFL show. Yeah. That's good news coming out soon, too. We're going to talk a lot about that. I mean, but that's, I think that's the biggest topic of the day, probably is that the NFC East division. I mean, I think that's the most interesting division to watch next year because it always comes down to the wire in that division. Even a couple years ago when the Redskins and Kirk Cousins choked against a terrible Giants team to make the playoffs and they lost. He threw three interceptions and they couldn't win at home, and that was his last game in Washington. I think that was, I mean, the NFC East always come down to the wire. I like watching the NFC East. It's a good conference. Last year, even though it was a shit show of football, it came down to the end and it was interesting. So yeah, and hopefully our next segment is our first ever question and answer segment, Q&A. All right, so we went to our Instagram channel at @emsportstalk_ask a couple questions. Told people just ask us some questions. Gonna shout you out on the show. Go give these guys a follow on Instagram. So the first question we have is from Lalo Quet on Instagram, asking us the most shocking combine number. Who had the most shocking combine numbers in the last week's combine? So when I seen this question, I immediately thought, oh shit, I gotta put Henry Ruggs in this conversation. Right? So for Henry Ruggs, he didn't do the bench press, but the guy ran a 4.27. 42 inches vertical jump and 131 inches for the broad jump. So he fucking stole the show when he ran a 4.27. I knew he was fast, but a 4.27 fast is crazy. You feel me? I didn't expect that, but it happened. He shocked me a lot, all right, when I seen that 4.27. I think Henry Ruggs is one guy that shocked me at the combine. Jeffrey Okuda, footwork was phenomenal in them drills. I was watching. He was just fluid. I mean, if you pass him up at 4, you is a fool. Or 3. If he get past 3, that's a steal if you ask me. He ran a 4.48, 11 reps of 225 on the bench press, 41 inches on the vertical jump, and 135 inches on the broad jump. He stole the fucking show for defensive backs at the combine. No question, Christian Fulton, nearly not as good as him. Grant Delpit, I didn't even see his name all weekend at the combine. Because Okuda stole the show. I see why they think he's the next Darius Slay. I see why they compared him to Darius Slay. The guy is phenomenal. Phenomenal. The guy is nice. Another guy stood up to me was Mekhi Becton, 6'7", 364 tackle from Louisville. He ran a 5'1", 23 on the bench press. I mean, that's just nice. 23 reps. He didn't do vertical jump and all that. Big men really don't, you know, do that. But that guy absolutely stole the show. He did. He did phenomenal out there. And I enjoy watching. I mean, big guys don't get a lot of credit, you know, but he did what he had to do. He did what he had to do. All right, so another guy that stood out to me probably was Joe, a guy that a lot of them people don't know about. Joe Bachy, he's a linebacker from, I want to say, Michigan State, outside linebacker, Michigan State. This guy looked great out there. Ran a 4.67, 26 reps on the bench press, vertical jump of 33.5 inches, 119 on the broad jump, did the 3 cone drill in 6.93 seconds. He had ran a 4.34 in the 20-yard shuttle, didn't do the 60-yard shuttle. But this guy looked good. I think that boosted his draft stock. It did. I mean, Michigan State, you probably never heard this guy, but I think you should give him a look. Give him a look at his tape. He did pretty good this year, and I think he should be appreciated for it. Another guy, Jonathan Taylor, probably was the most overworked running back in college last year. I mean, in his career, he had over 9,000 attempts at Wisconsin. That's fucking nuts. He ran a 4.39. If you tell me he's going day 3, all you draft experts are fucking crazy. He should go day 2. He might sneak into the first round. The pro days are coming up. He don't need a pro day. Ran a 4.39, 17 on the bench press. I mean, this guy, did what I thought he would do. He performed well, and he's I don't even see how J.K. Dobbins and them guys are over top of Jonathan Taylor. It makes me angry because looking at him on tape, he looks like the best running back in college. Even though last year, I mean, this year's draft class not as deep. I mean, the running backs are deep, but it's not as they say good running back rich like last year's draft. Where they got Jacobs, who barely had over 100 carries in college. I mean, so I think Jonathan Taylor is most slept on. I think he shocked me as well. Move on to the next question. At Gilbert on Instagram asks, is the fate sealed for the Wizards to lose forever, or will they win? Or will they ever win another championship? And like I said the other day, I was talking to my friend, the Wizards, they got to get a new front office, or that team's going to continue to suck. They made no effort to put any talent around Bradley Beal. They knew Wall was going to be out this year. They put no talent around Bradley Beal. Didn't even make an attempt. I mean, instead of bringing in talent, they brought in Moses Wagner and Jerome Robinson. They brought in, I mean, at the trade deadline, they brought in Robinson. They traded Isaiah Thomas, who they brought in. If Ish Smith is your starting point guard on the first game of the season, that's a bad sign. And the Wizards continue to piss me off. Because for the last couple of years, they continue to put no talent, none, around Bradley Beal and John Wall. They made a run, 2016, 2017? That was it. I mean, this is terrible to watch. The Wizards are only in the playoff race because they're in the Eastern Conference. And it's bad to watch. No one wants to watch the Wizards play. This is a shit show definition. Yeah, I mean, so the question, answer to the question, I think there's fate is sealed. I don't think they ever, I think the Wizards, I mean, unless they get a front office and who wants to win, it's done for the Wizards. I mean, they're just going to be another laughing stock of the league. I mean, in a couple years, Bill and Wall are not going to even want to play there. That's how bad the Wizards are in looking on the court. They don't even look like a team. They look like it's just a Bradley Beal show out there. He's going 50 a night. And people are going crazy. Oh, but they lose. I mean, God. Moving on to the next question. At Certified Sauce on Instagram, he asks, who do you think is getting the NBA MVP, Rookie of the Year, and I don't know what Koi is, and Defensive Player of the Year if the season ended today? All right, so MVP, I love Giannis' game. I'm not being biased to Giannis because I hate the Bucks because I'm a Raptors fan. I honestly, to God, think LeBron James is going to be the MVP. He's impacted that team. I mean, he balled out last year, but this year, man, he's averaging a double-double right now. LeBron James is the truth. He might not be scoring as much as he used to, but he's impacting that team. It's going to be tough because Giannis really don't have any help either. But look at the Bucks. They're 9.5 games over the Raptors, who is a second. I mean, wow. But I think LeBron's going to edge him out. I think it's going to be close. But I think LeBron is going to win the MVP this year. Rookie of the Year, if the season was ended today, I'm going to have to go with Ja Morant still. Zion only played, didn't even play a half of a season yet. He's balling fucking crazy right now. His recent game scored 35 against the Lakers. Zion next year is going to, you know, they're going to be better, but I don't see him winning. Morant just on another level right now. So I think Morant is going to get that. Defensive Player of the Year is going to be tough. I'm going to have to go with Giannis. His defensive rating is crazy this year. Oh, Bam Adebayo is another guy that comes to mind as well from the Heat. I mean, they're balling as well on the defense. I think Giannis wins that. And, so if the season today, I go LeBron MVP, Rookie of the Year, I'm going with Ja Morant, and Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going with Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Bucks. I'm thinking Koi, whatever that means. I think he's saying who's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. If that's what he's saying, Carmelo, I don't know that. I'm not gonna answer that. That's hard to answer. I don't know. All right, we got a couple more questions. All right. They didn't leave their name, but we got. Will Dak return to Dallas next season? I think he will. That's a no-brainer. I think they're gonna franchise tag him, or they're gonna reach a deal. That doesn't make sense to move on from him the way that organization's moving. Yeah, so yeah, I go with that. So I guess that's all the questions we have for today. I mean, like I said, if you have any questions, you can leave a voice message on here, or you can go to our Instagram page at emsportstalk underscore. Leave some Q&As. I'm gonna be posting random ones. You can just. Or you can DM us and add, talk about anything you want. Free agency's coming up. We got a big free agency show coming up. I want to say, what we got? Next week? Next week? Not next week, the week after. Big free agency show coming up the week after. We're going to be releasing any more draft content. I know a lot of people have been asking, we want that mock draft. I haven't released it yet, but we're going too soon. I gotta meet with my NFL expert. We're gonna work on it, all right. But that big NFL show, man, that's gonna be a blast to have the boys, and we're gonna talk a lot about football. I mean, I can't wait for that. I cannot wait. And so we're gonna get to the biggest sports moment of the night, the video that went viral last night. Jackson State's basketball manager, they call him Stacks, Snacks, my fault, Snacks Lee, big kid, he looks about 330, look like he should be running in the combine, big kid. So he's a senior, they put him in for the last game of the regular season, and he was like, hey, let this guy get in. So this guy decides, you know what, they pass him the ball, he shot the ball from carry range and absolutely drilled it. We got the audio to prove it. So we're gonna roll the audio.
In this game, man.
Jackson State extends to a 72-46 lead. Snacks is in the ball game.
Snacks is in this game, man.
With 2:05 to go. Thomas Lee in the ball.
James is trying to get it to him. Jonas James gets it to him again.
Here's Snacks with three.
Snacks busted. Snacks hits the three.
Mobbing Snacks.
So yeah, so you heard the audio. So he drained the three. They went crazy. They blew the team out. So that's just a great moment. We're gonna do one of those probably every episode. The biggest sports moment of the night or viral sports moment of the night. I thought it was funny, so I put it on here. And so yeah, that brings us to the end of the episode, man. And episode 7 is gonna be released probably tomorrow. We're gonna talk. I mean, talk more about NBA and stuff like that. So just keep supporting us. EM Sports Talk, we expanding, like I said, to three shows. So we have our own NFL show, and that's the only one I'm gonna tell you about. We're gonna have more coming soon. So shout out to all my fans out here, supporters. Keep supporting us. Like I said, like, subscribe, do everything, share us. Need to get to, look here, man, let's do a deal right now, okay? If we can get to 450 followers on Instagram, I want to say by April 13th, I'm giving away $25 gift card anywhere of your choice, right, to two random subscribers. All you got to do is follow the Instagram channel, subscribe on here on Anchor, share us, and you're going to get yourself, I mean, you hope you get selected. Random people, $25 anywhere of your choice. I'm not joking around. We need 450 followers on the Instagram page by April 13th. So, good night, everyone. EM Sports Talk will be back soon. See you guys next episode. Thank you.